Please turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As we continue a series of messages this morning on healing and hope in the ever-present God. This morning we're looking at hope in times of trouble. Hope in times of trouble. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We will begin reading in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God and that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Isn't that a horrible thought to still be in your sins? Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Does it matter what words you say over their grave? Does it matter what all you do here in the church before their casket? If they're still in their sins and Christ is not risen from the dead, they have perished. Perished. No hope whatsoever. Can you resurrect yourself from the dead? Everyone say no. Can another man bring you back to life? Everyone say no. They may resuscitate you, but guess what? You're still going to die. No hope. Worst of all, still in your sins. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, and that he did not rise from the dead, and that's all we have in this life, we are of all men the most pitiable. And all my preaching is in vain, your faith is in vain, and we have no hope. No hope. Wouldn't it be a horrific thought for you and I to live this life and not have any hope whatsoever? That's a horrific thought to still think that you and I who trusted in a living Lord and a living Savior to still be in our sins. I've been washed by the blood. I have been saved by a living Savior who is still alive today. Hallelujah. And those loved ones who have been put in the grave, they are present with the Lord. Their spirit is with the Lord. Someday that body will resurrect. There is hope in troubled times. There is hope in troubled times because he lives. Gloria Gaither wrote that song, "Because He Lives," and I heard her testimony when she wrote it. She said that they were fixing to have their child. and that the Vietnam War was going on, and there was turmoil in the world, and there was protest in our country, and it just seemed like there was no hope. And yet they were bringing a child into the world, and God spoke to her heart, and she sat down and wrote the song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." And because He lives, how sweet to hold a newborn babe. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And because He lives, we have hope. We have hope in times of trouble. Why? Because Christian hope. I'm talking about Christian hope. The other so-called religions who hope in someone who is buried in a grave, or hope if they kill enough infidels that they'll have 70 virgins in heaven, or that they'll become a god themselves over their own world if they would live a moral life. Our hope is in a person that is alive. It's in Christ. Folks, if I hoped in myself, there's no hope. I hope in a person, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a person, and all creation worships Him and adores Him. And even in Revelation, He is in the very center of the throne of God, of power, and all creations and all beings fall down and worship Him, the living Lord. He holds all the keys and holds all the crowns. He wears all the crowns. It's a person. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, if you would turn there with me in God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope." Our Christian hope is in a person. He's Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Says this: "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So as a born-again believer, the person who has placed their faith, their hope, their trust in Jesus Christ, our hope, it's a living hope because God resides in us. God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, it says in Romans chapter 8, indwells us. And that's the hope of glory. You see, you know this morning whether or not God indwells you as His temple. You know that, whether you're saved or not. And if you're saved this morning, it's a living hope, because if God indwells you and you're a temple of God, the Holy Spirit, then you know you have been born again. You're a new creation, and that something better is coming. That's His down payment. That's His surety for you that you have been born again. It's in a person. It's not in me, but it's in the person that is in me, the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope of glory. I know I'm going to be in glory someday because Christ indwells me. You know whether or not Christ is in you. It's in a person. And also Christian hope is found in God's Word. Psalm 119 says, it says in verse 147, there the largest book in the Bible, there in the center of your Bible, of God's Word, speaks of God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 147 says this, I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. I hope in your word. Have you ever had trouble in your life and the only source of security, the only source of something that helps, that gives you calmness and peace of mind, is when you actually get in God's Word. Amen? And He says, I cry out to you, and I'm reading your Word, I'm meditating upon your Word, I hope in your Word, O Lord. So Christian hope in times of trouble, anytime, is in God's Word. You see, he was wrestling with a problem, the psalmist was. Have you ever wrestled with a problem or trouble or turmoil in your life, and you're living in troubled times? In our nation, we are living in troubled times, and it seems like that you are wrestling with a giant. It becomes a giant. And you keep wrestling with it. When I was a young teenage boy and an adolescent, I watched wrestling before Sunday school on Sunday mornings. It was there in the Coliseum in Alexandria, and it was on Channel 5, the Channel 5 out of LA. And one of the wrestlers was Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant. And when I was a young lad, Andre the Giant was one of the good wrestlers. There was the bad ones and the good ones. And then he turned bad. I never did understand why he turned bad at the end. But Andre the Giant, he would walk in the ring and those other be two or three wrestlers. It's all make-believe. But they were pounding on him and everything. And that Andre the Giant was just so big that he would just fling them to the side like that. Because he was a giant of a man. This morning, you may be feeling, we're people of faith. We live by faith and not by feelings, but God has instilled in us feelings. And you may feel like the trouble you're in or the problem you're dealing with, whatever it may be, you may think it's a giant. It's big. And you've been wrestling with it and you feel like it's just been slinging you around. But you know what? The God of this Bible, the God of Scripture, is so much bigger than any giant of our making. His Word is a sword. His Word brings comfort. His Word brings hope, because God is in control. He is so much bigger than the problem that you are wrestling with. Cry out to God as the psalmist did, and hope in God's Word, because God's Word is inspired. The only inspired Word that you have heard this morning, whether you was in Sunday school or during our worship time of music or right now during the preaching, the only inspired Word that you have heard is what you have read in the Scripture. Amen? Inspired means God breathed. Now I'm preaching using God's Word. Your Sunday school teacher taught using God's Word. And we ask and beg and pray for God the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Scriptures and to speak through us to feed the flock. But God's Word is the inspired Word you've heard. That's why we can't just rush through the inspired word and hear what another man says. Let's hear what God says. It's inspired. It is God-breathed, and it is so much bigger than any trouble. Because it's inspired word of God. So Christian hope is found in God's word. Also, Christian hope looks for the return of Christ. It says in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verses 23 and 24. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Perseverance. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us as born-again believers, it is eagerly waiting for the return of Christ. Even all creation, it says, is waiting for the adoption of the sons of men, for our glorification, our new glorified body, for when Christ comes back and makes everything right. And He's coming back. And that is what our hope is in. And Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15 also speaks of the hope that we have in the return of Jesus Christ. Again, it's like a woman, it says in Romans chapter 8, a woman that is in birth pains. All of creation is like a woman in travail. The Spirit within us is eagerly waiting. And you know what? We're seeing these birth pains get closer and closer together, aren't we? My wife has given birth to 3 children. She was in labor 26 hours with Lewis. That sucker, he's been bad from the get-go. He has. 26 hours she was in labor. The other 2 girls, you know, wasn't nothing to it, seemed like to me. I mean, that was easy. You know? But one thing about a woman giving birth to a child, you wait, you wait. And around 9 months, it's time. And then things start happening. And she starts having pains. And I believe they're called contractions. I call them claws times. Those contractions begin, and they're so far apart. And then they get closer together, and closer together, and closer together. Then the baby comes. And Scripture describes the return of Christ like a woman fixing to give birth, and those contractions, those birth pains get closer and closer together, and we're there. You see it. Even if you talk to people who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, they sense something big fixing to happen. I don't know if it's the judgment of America or Christ is coming back, but there's a sense something's fixing to happen. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but it says all creation is groaning like a woman fixing to give birth, and we're there. We're closer and closer together. But it gives us hope. Why does it give us hope? First of all, Christ is in me. I have a living hope. It's not, I hope I'm saved. No, it's living. I have a living hope, not a dead hope. So I know I've been born again. I know Christ indwells in me. And I do know when He comes back, He's going to fix everything. Because He knows my heart and He knows your heart. And He's going to fix everything when He comes back. Now, it's our living hope, but you know what? If you have this living hope in you, please listen. You'd want to tell others about them. Some people I know that I've known for years now, I feel sorry for you. You're still in your sins. It is Christ and Christ only for salvation. Read the Bible. Just simply read the Bible. I feel sorry for you. That living hope is in you. You'd want to tell other people that are dying and going to hell that Christ and only Christ can save them. You're still in your sins without Jesus as Lord, Master of your life. You're still in your sins. But Christ is coming back. He's coming back. Christian hope also, Christian hope does not disappoint us in tribulation. Please turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We read this last Sunday in this series of messages. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we have this hope, and it does not disappoint because God indwells us, and it's a living hope. It doesn't disappoint. Now, have you ever been disappointed? If you're alive, you have. Has your family ever done something that disappointed you, or a close friend that you thought was a friend and it was a great big disappointment? You got hurt? If you're alive, that's happened to you. Yeah. Yeah, maybe a child didn't do exactly what the child's supposed to have done, and so on and so on. Been disappointed. But a Christian hope, our Christian hope does not disappoint. Why? Because first of all, it's a living hope. And now let me say this. If you are disappointed in Christianity, it's because you've been misled. If you're disappointed because you was promised that when you came to Christ, you won't have no more problems. Maybe you was promised that if you came to Christ and if you believed enough, you would get that new job, or you would, if you'd have all the money you'd want, or you would never be sick, and so on and so on. Or, you know, everything's just going to fall in place. Now, Jesus does tell us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and in other words, put Him number one in priority, and all the other things is going to fall in place. But life is hard. Life is tough. And if you're disappointed in your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have one and you're disappointed in it, you need to return back to your first love, to the basics. Have a relationship with Him through prayer. Seek revival. Get in His Word. Hope in His Word. But if you're disappointed because you was told something else, you've been misled. Let me tell you what Christianity is. It is giving your all to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's becoming a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. That is what a Christian is. That's it. It's living godly for Him. It's being a witness for Him. Is that easy? No. It's not. Life is hard. But we have hope. We have hope. And this hope, this living hope, does not disappoint in times of trouble. Why? Because He's with you. You may have been disappointed by other people or other things, but Christ loves you with the love of the living God. He loves you with pure, agape, godly love. In that while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated His love toward us that He died on the cross for you and I. I promise you, that love you will not be disappointed in. I found a poem that I'd like to read to you. It depends on whose hands it's in. A basketball in my hands is worth about $19. A basketball in Larry Bird's hands is worth millions. Depends on whose hands it's in. A baseball in my hands is worth about $6. A baseball in Mark McGuire's hands is worth $19 million. It depends whose hands it's in. A rod in my hands will keep away a wild animal. A rod in Moses' hands will part the mighty sea. It depends whose hands it's in. A slingshot in my hands is a kid's toy. A slingshot in David's hand is a mighty weapon. It depends whose hands it is in. Two fish and five loaves of bread in my hands is a couple of fish sandwiches. Two fish and five loaves of bread in God's hands will feed thousands, because it depends whose hands it is in. Nails in my hands might produce a birdhouse, maybe. But nails in Jesus Christ's hands will produce salvation for the entire world, for whosoever will. It depends on whose hands it is in. So put your concerns, your worries, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, your families, and your relationships in God's hands, because it depends whose hands it's in. Author unknown. So this hope that does not disappoint, this hope as Christians we have in times and troubles, this hope that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, this hope is a person. It's Jesus Christ. It's a relationship with Him because He lives. I can face tomorrow and you can face tomorrow. Even in troublesome times, we can move forward by faith in the living Lord. That's hope. That's hope. Let's pray. Lord, again, we do thank You for Your presence. We do thank you for the forgiveness of sins. So, Lord, our hope is in you. Our righteousness is in you. Our strength is in you. Our faith is in you. You're the author and perfecter of it. So, Lord, there's no hope without you. Life would be pitiable and miserable and in vain without you. So, God, help us as your children to hope in you continually. And oh, God, I pray that those who do not have a relationship with you, may your Holy Spirit touch that heart. Oh, Lord, may they trust in you. And may it be for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.